Well, unfortunately, we can't sing and talk about Gracie all morning. Although we would like to, because the singing's been great, and what is there better to talk about than Gracie Woodard? But I will tell you this one thing, I am keenly aware that there is only 13 minutes officially left until I went over, and we're going to get to the sermon, and it's going to be good, I promise you. However, I got to share this story with you, because this is just, you know, when you're a part of this family, and, you know, it's just how we are. I mean, when you're a part of this family, it's just how we are. It is what it is. I love that saying. I hate it, but I love it. But it is what it is. We were on, Vic and I and the kids, we were on vacation one time. Yeah, I know. We were on vacation, and we went, like, to the beach or something. And I might get this wrong a little bit, but anyway. And we came home, and there's this box of wine glasses on our counter. And Vic and I were like, "Did you get those?" I don't know where those came from. And she was like, "I didn't get them. I didn't know." Well, when we got married, we were given these crystal, some kind of wine glasses, whatever. They were just up in the cabinet, and, you know, on New Year's, we'd get them out, let the kids drink sparkling grape juice out of them, you know, whatever. And anyway, we just had those. And there was this box of these not crystal, these Walmart wine glasses on our counter when we came home from. And so we didn't know what had happened. And so a couple days later, we get a phone call from Grace. And she said, "Mr. Shane, did you find those wine glasses I bought you?" I'm like, "Well, yeah." She said, "Well, while you guys were on vacation, Kristen Paris, our next door neighbor who's good friends with Gracie, when y'all were on vacation, we came over and I think they came and swam and came in the house and hung out, maybe made a sandwich or whatever. And they're all drinking, oh, let's drink out of these. And they're drinking whatever. And they broke our wine glasses while we were on vacation, while they were in our house, unbeknownst to us. Just hanging out, watching some TV, going swimming, just, you know, because with one thing that Grace always knew, and I think all the Woodard children know this, is that our house is never locked. It really isn't. It's unlocked right now. I mean, I think Stone's sleeping in our bed right now. I don't know. But, it's never locked, and whenever we're there or wherever, I mean, we could just walk in the house, and there's Gracie. She's like, "Oh, hey, I made a sandwich, and you might need to, you know." But she just, you know, broke our glasses, replaced them, and then just let us know that while you were gone, I just sort of was there, and we had a great time. I knew you weren't home, and so me and Kristen just hung out. That's just how it is. Well, you know, that is, you know, so, you know, it's something special about being a part of this family. Not the Hines family or the Woodard family, but the Highland Hills family. And, you can't really explain it unless you experience it. You can't really explain what it's like to get up, walk down the hallway, see one of our teenagers just in your house, and you didn't know it, and they're okay with that. But it is it's a special thing. This morning we're going to go to about four after. That's my goal. So buckle up. Because this is going to be, you know, we're talking about, you know, we're going to shift gears here just a little bit. We're talking about the fields being ripe for harvest. You know, I've been this thing about evangelism. We're going to, I've got one more sermon about this. But this morning I want to talk about, you know, this idea of making disciples. And it's really this key. Making disciples is the key that unlocks heaven on earth. Making, you know, being a disciple of Christ and making disciples is really how you experience the relationship that God has in store for each one of us. And so as we talk about this, one of the things that I want to say is I know that this morning being here has been a It's been a blessing. And I hope that it continues to be a blessing. But this is the part where, you know, this warm and fuzzy, comfortable, oh, this is great. This is the point in the service where that feeling's going to stop and the real uncomfortable one's coming. I just want to apologize in advance. And when I say apologize, I don't mean apologize because God's laid this on my heart and He's been hammering me with it all week. And so now's my turn to hammer you. And I say all of this in love, but guys, we have a job to do. I say this in love, but guys, we have got a responsibility that God has given us. And if we are going to call ourselves His children, then we have to be His children, not just in word, but in deed. We can't just say, hey, I'm a Christian, I go to church over here, and not show it, not have that affect us. As it's already been prayed this morning, is that the things that we say at some point have got to determine what we do. And making disciples, reproducing ourselves, is got to be part of that, because Jesus over and over and over emphasized this. Now, the thing about it, a whole lot of stuff has to happen before we can do this. Some of us in this room, some members of the Highland Hills Church of Christ, have got to, first of all, grow up. Because babies don't have babies. Only mature adults have babies. So if you're going to make a disciple, you've got to get somehow more mature than you are so that you can reproduce. Do you follow what I'm saying? I mean, at some point, if we're born and we grow and we get older and we become, you know, mature adults and we have all of the, all of the opportunities and everything to reproduce ourselves. And so, and we do, we find a wife or a husband, we get married, we have children, and then there's more people than there were before we were in this relationship. But see, little kids don't get married and have babies. They don't. And the problem is that the difference between us growing physically and growing spiritually is that we're going to grow physically as long as we keep eating and, you know, we're going to grow physically without a whole lot of effort on our part. But spiritually, we can get stunted. And we can stay spiritual babies for 10, 15, 30, 50 years. And the proof of that is there is no viable reproduction that happens. And so we miss out. The world misses out on heaven on earth. We miss out on experiencing God in this way. You know, Hyatt can say, I'm an adult, all he wants to. Guess what? He's not. He's not. He doesn't have a job. He doesn't act like an adult. He doesn't produce anything like an adult. He doesn't act like an adult. Did I mention that? But, oh, I'm an adult. I'm a grown up. No, you're not. Quit saying you are something that you're not. This morning, I want to point out some things in Acts chapter 1, 1 through 5, that I believe get overlooked. And it's not really a commandment. It's not really a hey, live like this, but it's something that is, there's clues in here to tell us how important this is. It starts out, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach. Now, we know from Sunday school who wrote the book of Acts. He also wrote a gospel? Luke. We learned that in Sunday school. Luke wrote the gospel of Luke, and he also wrote the book of Acts. You know who he wrote the book of Acts to? One person. Theophilus. Do you know who he wrote the gospel of Luke to? It was really a letter. It was, you know, it's kind of a something that he wrote for one person. If you've got your Bibles, turn over to the first chapter of Luke. Now, Luke is a very significant accounting of the life of Jesus. And in verse 1, in chapter 1, many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us. Now, this is Luke talking about all of the stuff that's gone on, all of the crazy, unexplainable stuff that's happened because of Jesus. I'm going to mark this so I can find it in a minute. So he goes on to say, many have undertaken to draw up an account of all the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. So what he's saying is that all this stuff has happened. People have talked about all the stuff that Jesus was doing, all of the walking around and the teaching, all of the healing, all of the miracles, all of the walking on water, all of the arguing with the Pharisees, all of the out of this world stuff has gone on. People have been talking about that. People have been sharing that. People saw it and they went and they told people what was going on. He said, therefore, because all of that's been happening, all of this eyewitnessing has been going on, therefore, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, it seemed good also to me to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus. Now, we can know a lot of things from just that right there. Theophilus was at this point in his life, he was probably not a disciple. He probably wasn't a Christian. He was just somebody that Luke, who hung out with Paul, maybe because Luke was a physician, Paul was infirmed, you know, he had a lot of issues, and so somehow they got together. It's widely, it's not really speculated, but it's widely believed that Paul went to Luke's doctor's office. Hey, I've got this eye issue, I've got this problem with this, I've got gout, I've got whatever, da 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 da. And Luke, all right, I can take care of that. You know what Paul does? Because Luke's a Gentile. You know what Paul does? Paul shares the gospel with him. Paul talks to him. He's like, oh, yeah. You know, doc, I got this one thing right here. Oh, by the way, let me tell you about Jesus. So Paul converts Luke. Luke goes around on all these journeys with, you know, and then Luke, you know what he does? He finds him an unbeliever, and he's talking to him. And then he writes the book of Luke to orderly put all this stuff together. And he says, you know, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. So Luke has been teaching this guy. Luke has been pouring his life into this guy. And so he says, look, now I need to write all this stuff down for you so that you can know what happened and refer back to it. And then he comes to the book of Acts and he says, in my other book, Theophilus, I told you about all that he began to do and teach. There's a couple of things there. First of all, Jesus began. He didn't start and finish, but he began to do and teach. Secondly, you combine the chapters, the verses, the words of the book of Luke and the book of Acts, and you've got more than 25% of the entire New Testament written to one person. Now, did the early church believe in discipling? If we want to say, hey, we're New Testament Christians. We're trying to restore the first century church here. I mean, that's what we do, right? As the Church of Christ, as a, you know, simple Christianity. Hey, we are restoring. We're not reforming. We are restoring the first century church. And that's what we're doing. And we're going to worship like they worship. We're going to act like they act. We're going to baptize like they baptize. We're going to commune like they commune. Are we going to disciple like they discipled? Because everything else that we do is meaningless if we don't disciple. It's meaningless. We can call ourselves adults, but if we're not reproducing, if we're not making disciples, if we're not, then I don't know how else to say it. Y'all know I like movies, and when I go see a movie that I really like, you're probably going to hear about it. I know my family's going to hear about it. And y'all didn't see this, but you could probably hear it when Vic rolled her eyes back there. I know.
That's her, oh, really? That's that look. I just got it again. She's doing it again now, isn't she? You know why you're going to hear about it? Because I like it. I saw a movie, one of the things that my family loves is that when we go to a baseball game or something like that, and then, I come home and I'm real excited about stuff and I talk about it for the rest of the night, they love that part. You know why I talk about it? Because I love it. And I want them to love it. I want them to experience it. And I want them to love it like I love it. And then when they say, oh, that was nice, I said, no, you don't understand. It is awesome. It is great. You just, let me tell you the story again. They love that part too. And they say, oh, yeah, I get it. When I eat something that's really yummy, and I want to tell it to them. I talked about Honeycrisp apples for like a month when I discovered those things. Oh, I know, Connie, they're good. And you just eat them and then it just pours down you and you just gotta, whew, I want one right now. You know why? Because I love, and I say, oh, you gotta try this apple. Oh, you gotta eat this. You gotta try this. And they're like, oh, that's good. No. You obviously didn't do it right. You gotta get in there. Come on, get some more. Have another bite. I'm like that. Guys, I'm obnoxious, okay? I'm confessing. I'm obnoxious about stuff like that. But the reality is that when we love something, when we experience something, we want other people to. And we say that we love Jesus, and so often we've never told a soul about Him. I wonder, do we really love Him? We love Him in theory, but have we dove in? Have we experienced? Have we taken a bite? Have we drank deep of the living water? And has it just slaked our thirst so much that we can't even believe what it feels like? And we got to tell somebody. And then when they say, oh yeah, that's great. Yeah, Jesus. No. You don't understand. Let me tell you about this. Let me let you experience it. You got to get this. See, that's what Luke was doing. Luke was saying, Theophilus, I told you about this stuff. I told you, and now I'm going to write it down for you. I'm going to write it down in 24 chapters. I wrote it down for you. And then Luke goes out, and he travels with Paul. And then he comes back, and he says, man, Theophilus, I wrote this other. And see, at this point, he addresses Theophilus differently. So Theophilus has become a Christian between the penning of Luke and the penning of Acts. Somewhere in there, Theophilus made a confession. Theophilus got in the water. Theophilus was a different, a recreated person. And so then, because Luke addresses him differently, we can know that. And he says, look, I know I taught you and I wrote it down for you. And then you believed and you drank and you enjoyed and you are renewed. And now let me tell you about more that he's doing. It's discipling. It's discipling. I'll make a deal with you. I'm going to, I see an exit ramp coming up. I'm going to take it. If you go to the next slide, this is a picture of early discipling. Luke's relationship with Theophilus is a picture of first century disciple making. It's pouring one life into another for the glory of Jesus, for the glory of Christ. Now, I've said it before, God is not concerned with my Little League baseball team unless I'm pouring myself into those boys for His glory, unless I'm discipling them, telling them. Unless I'm praying with them and talking to them. And, God's not so concerned with my friendship with this guy or that guy unless I let them know I've got one agenda with you, and it is for you to know my Jesus. One of the best friends I have in this world, our relationship started with that conversation. At our dinner table, his wife,
my wife, me, and him. And I told him, and my wife will tell you, it was awkward for just a second. I told him, I said, I have no reason to be friends with you other than to disciple you to Christ, other than to tell you about Jesus so that you can have a relationship with him. It's a picture of early disciple making. And we're going to stop there, and we're going to pick it up next week about what was Jesus doing. You know, what is Jesus doing now? Because it says, he says, I talked to you about all that he began to do and teach. That means that he's not done. That means that he is not done doing what he came to do. And I'll give you a hint. You can write this word down. We're going to talk about incarnation. Because Jesus came to incarnate this flesh. He came to dwell among us. And now what he is doing is dwelling in us. This morning, I want to put a challenge out to us as the Highland Hills Church of Christ. Can we be first century Christians? Not just in the form of our worship, not just in the way that we commune together, not just in the way that the amount of times that we get together. Can we be first century Christians where it really matters, what really matters to God, and that is finding souls that have never experienced it and offering it to them? Can we do that? Because the rest of it is window dressing. The rest of it is quite honestly secondary to discipling. This morning, if you need, if you have needs in your life, if you are at that point where you said, you know what, I want to make that transition just like Theophilus. I want to make that confession. I want to be baptized, and I want to start my journey sharing this stuff with anybody who will listen. You have that opportunity. If you've been a disciple with an unwillingness to make disciples or to be a disciple maker or a discipler, if you've never endeavored to invest yourself in someone else for the kingdom, and you just want to ask for forgiveness, you want to ask for prayers, encouragement, if you just want to ask the church to say, hey, pray for me so that I can be more like Christ in that, you have that opportunity. Whatever your need is this morning, would you respond as together we stand and as we sing?